Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
I am the unknown soldier. Some call me MIA. Some say I can't go home again. Some say I chose to stay. I am the unknown soldier who you refuse to know. A brother and a friend of yours who left so long ago. Some call me POW, the one they left behind. I am the unknown soldier, the one they never tried to find. I'm the one they never tried to find. I'm a farmer from Missouri, the soldier from St. Paul. I was the hero of my family, and still my picture's upon their wall. I'm a poet and a scholar, and the boy who lived next door. I am the unknown soldier, forgotten on a foreign shore, long forgotten on a foreign shore. I was someone's loving daddy. I was someone's pride and joy. I was someone's tender lover, a worried mama's a little boy. And if you should just forget me here, then should I forget you too? Please won't you try to bring me home? For I'm someone who belongs to you. I'm still someone who belongs to you. I am the unknown soldier with no more tears to shed. I'm just a fading memory, a part of the living dead. My country has betrayed me, yet I have forgiven you. And every night I pray to God that somehow he'll forgive you too. Yes, even somehow he'll forgive you too. I am the unknown soldier, the one for whom you cried. That familiar face that you can't face, the one your country told you died. I am the unknown soldier, with dreams you'll rescue me. And I am a man who understands only death might ever set me free. Only death might ever set me free. I am the unknown soldier, and I'm black and blue and gray. I said I am the unknown soldier, and I die slowly every day. And I'm tired, and I'm hungry, and I'm lonely, and I'm cold. I am the unknown soldier, the one you bought and sold. I'm the one you bought and sold. So lay right down close beside me now, and gently stroke my face, and wrap your arms around me now, before we leave this place. Some called me POW, some called me MIA. Some say I can't come home again, but I will return someday.
Official statement: the struggle against the gospel and Christian legend must be conducted ruthlessly and with all the means at the disposal of the Communist Party or the Democratic Party. That was Radio Leningrad, August 27th, 1950. Stalin. Have we suppressed the reactionary clergy? Yes, we have. The unfortunate thing is that it has not been completely liquidated. Anti-religious propaganda is a means by which the complete liquidation of the reactionary clergy must be brought about. Cases occur when the certain members of the party hamper the complete development of the anti-religious propaganda. If such members are expelled, it is a good thing, because there is no room for such communism in the ranks of the party. That's exactly where the Biden regime is heading. Remember when he first got in office, what he said? Anyone who is preaching the old-fashioned way against the sins of abortion and pedophilia and sodomy will be charged with a hate crime. And well, he hasn't been able to do it yet, but he will try. There you go. That's what's happening. So that's where we're at today.
Well, it started way back. The Founding Fathers had a view of liberty. Now, their view of liberty is very different from what is today. They understood that rights came from God, and that the government was instituted to what? Protect those God-given rights. And what we have today is this modern view of self-fulfillment, fulfilling our desires, good feelings, good times, and everything. But it's funny that the founders warned over and over again about, you know, freedom. And you go back to Webster's 1828 dictionary. This is one I have. I know Pastor Ernie has one. I think every American should have one. It's the only Christian dictionary in the world. And it gives definitions of freedom, independence, and what liberty really is. And it says, freedom, a state of exemption from the power or control of another. Liberty, the exemption from slavery, servitude, or confinement. Freedom is personal, civil, political, and religious. Beware of what are called innocent freedoms, libertine, licentiousness, not under the restraint of law or religion. Independence is the state of not being dependent, complete exemption from control or power from others, except God is the only one independent, you know, supreme. We are all bowing to Him. But it goes on to say, liberty, freedom from restraint. Freedom from restraint applicable to the body, mind, or will. Natural liberty consists of the power of acting as one sees fit, except you're under the laws of nature and nature's God. And civil liberty is where the liberty of men in a state of society, where liberty is abridged and restrained only as necessary and expedient for the safety and general interest of the society, state, or nation. So you look back, we've forgotten these old definitions, these old things that we are under God, under His restraint, under His laws, the laws of nature and nature's God. That is what is to guide and direct us. And it was amazing when we look through this stuff, the warnings. You remember Alexis de Tocqueville, back in 1840, published an entire volume, and he gave a list of what he feared would be the devolution of America that would bring America down. And he said this, poor education and a loss of morality would lead to material pleasure. He predicted the Constitution would be intentionally misrepresented, misinterpreted, to make it easier to change. That would lead to bigger and better government. And when this happened, he foresaw political parties fostering divisions in society, enabling them to grow stronger, more powerful, followed by an increased coziness between government and financial and business organizations. And the result of all of this would be mounting debts, greater demands from the people of government money. 1840, I've got pages of stuff like this going back through history where we were warned over and over, and those words are very chilling today. Everything he warned, the Democratic Party has done to us.
Well, it's happening here now, and you've heard a lot about lately about the what's going on with the baby formula. As I started to say earlier, today's situation update, when you're talking about to address the infant formula shortage, that's causing widespread frustration, even panic across America. The very, very, very illegitimate Biden regime has invoked Korean War-era emergency powers found in the Defense Protection Act, which is administered by none other than FEMA. Mm-hmm. The act originally intended to allow emergency executive action to shore up critical infrastructure during times of war. It is now being used by the Biden regime to seize control over our food supply, raw materials, and force companies to deliver them to Abbott Laboratories to manufacture large quantities of heavily possessed junk food, infant formula, made with corn syrup solids and processed milk proteins. Again, you see, we at one time may have been the only people in the country that really understood, at least it felt that way, that we are in the middle of the depopulation, the world depopulation program, and that all of the, you know, Bill Gates, all of these people, we talked about this back in the 80s, Klaus Schwab, all of these people, George, are involved in killing off people. They're killing off people, and they're aided and abetted by NBC, ABC, CBS, whatever George Soros and these people, whatever lie, whatever deception they tell them to bring upon the American people, they will do that. NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox News, whatever what they call the narrative is to deceive the American and betray the American people, those people will do that. That's what they're doing today.
Well,
they're keeping
the baby food shortage to start with was because the government gave a very special contract to one company to provide, now I can't remember if it was under SNAP or one of the whichever assistance program it was under, but to provide food for the poor. And we used to call it the welfare food stamps. Now I think they call it SNAP or something. But anyway, it cut off the competition. Instead of allowing competition, they did the government handout, the government benefit to this company. And then when something went wrong, they weren't paying attention, they weren't watching, they did everything wrong. Mexico here, with all its problems with the cartels and the violence, they have plenty of baby formula all over the world. There's no other country but the United States that's having a shortage of baby food. And right across the one of the poorest countries around, one of the most violent countries, has plenty of formula, but it can't cross the border. But we can allow the people to come over. They can bring drugs and all kinds of things. They can traffic little girls and little boys, but oh, God forbid you bring any baby food across the border, you'd be arrested.
Well, Sleazy Joe actually has it for those that are invading our countries, for the invaders, for those that are invading our country. Sleazy Joe actually has a big supply there on the border of that for them, okay,
to give it to them. Yeah,
but yeah,
you can't and bring it across illegally. We can give them instead of giving it to Americans.
Remember what they said. And I remember watching this professor in China talking to a huge group of China of college kids in China.
Right.
I mean, this huge assembly, huge. And he was saying that we will win this. We will overcome America. We own our people. We have people in all the high places in the American government. We own them. We own them. You know, the Biden family got $35 million that we know of, $35 million for the Biden crime cartel from the Red Chinese. Now, who do you think they're working for?
I know they're not working for me. Hey, Pastor Ernie, you and I have been around a little while. You could say we're seasoned citizens. Do you remember the National Creed?
Let me see. If I remember America's creed, it was something like, I do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon. I seek opportunity to develop. Okay, that was the American creed that I'm talking about.
Way back when, America, in April 1918, the House of Representatives accepted on behalf of the American people this creed. Now, this creed was recited daily in schools, public ceremonies throughout both world wars. And then somehow, right after World War II, was quietly removed from the schools and national life. And I'm going to read it. It's very short, and then I bet you can tell me why they had it removed. I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed. A democracy in a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon the principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity, for which American patriots sacrifice their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies.
Well, again, here you're talking about the government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And again, this is here, the Communist Party, the Antichrist, Democratic Communist Party. They want to control. They want to control every aspect. They want it for them. Karl Marx had made this statement, or not Karl Marx, Joseph Stalin, about here, who should have freedom and who should have equality. And he said that should be chosen by the party, that who should have freedom and equality. That's exactly what the Democratic Communist Party decides. As far as, you know, that's their mindset. And they don't understand that those of us that have known freedom, we're willing to die if we have to and take them with us to keep our freedom because we're not going to give it up. We're not going to let them take our freedoms away. And so...
Exactly. You know, with that, when I was reading that, back in 1932, George Counts was a Fabian socialist, and I kind of mentioned it earlier. He taught there at Columbia University Teachers College, and he said this, America had entered a new age where ignorance must be replaced by knowledge, competition by cooperation, trust in providence, trust in God, by careful planning, and private capitalism by some form of socialized economy. Here we have a socialist elite teaching in America's biggest and best teachers' college, teaching the teachers who would teach America's children, and it was those same teachers that studied under George Counts that started withdrawing the America's national creed for the public school system. Imagine that, Pastor Ernie. His students taking the creed out of the schools in the late 40s and 50s, early 50s.
All righty, here's the American creed. You ready? Come about the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon. I seek opportunity to develop whatever talent God gave me, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled or dulled by having the state look after me. I want to take the calculated risks to dream and to build and to fall and to succeed. I refuse to barter incentive for a dole. I prefer the challenges of life to the guaranteed existence, the thrill of fulfillment to the stale claim of utopia. I will not trade freedom for beneficence, nor my dignity for a handout. I will never cower before any earthly master, nor bend to any threat. It is my heritage to stand erect, proud, and unafraid, to think and to act myself, to enjoy the benefit of my creations, and to face the world boldly and say, this, with God's help, I have done. All of this is what it means to be an American. That was the American Creed.
And it came from, you know, that was beautiful. It came, you go back to that Webster's Dictionary one more time where it talked about independence. Quote, a state where one does not rely on others for subsistence. You just talked about that. Two, the ability to support oneself. I'm not going to get a government handout. I'm going to work. And three, it's a state where a person acts without bias or influence of government.
I wanted to, we were just talking about that with the food supply. Remember how they tried to stop us from using hydroxychloroquine because they wanted people to die?
Right.
They tried to cut off supplies of ivermectin because they wanted us to die. They tried to cut off quercetin. They wanted us to die. And here now, they want to control the food supply. An Amish farmer faces a $250,000 fine, jail time, and losing his farm for processing his own meat. What they've been doing for years and years. Amos Miller's private food club members say they don't want their grass-fed meat treated with chemical preservatives required by the USDA-approved processing.
Right.
That Amos Miller says that he is being persecuted by the federal government for practicing his religious freedom to raise and prepare food the way he believes God intended food to be raised and prepared in accordance with nature. Miller practices rationalized grazing on small, holistically managed, century-old farm in Bird and Hand, Pennsylvania. His heritage bred cows are raised on organic pastures, with the chickens following behind, eating the bugs from their droppings, and way-fed pigs trampling all the fertilizer back into the ground after that. Around 4,000 customers of his private members-only food buying club are dependent upon his meat, eggs, dairy products, as well as fermented fruits and veggies, and are willing to spend top dollar to get it shipped to them all over the country, as they don't trust food from the grocery stores. Well, you see, again, control, control. They want to add, the Democratic Communist Collective wants to control every aspect of our life. They want to be the ones that says whatever freedoms we have will be freedoms given to us by them, okay?
Right. They want, in fact, they want people out of rural America. I live in a place where if I want to build a barn, I can go build a barn. I don't have to get a permit. I don't have to ask anybody. If I want to add on to my house, do I have to get a permit? No. I can do whatever I wish. I raise my own chickens. I raise my own garden. We raise our own beef. I'm getting too old to slaughter a cow, so I send the steer in for slaughter, but Mennonites do the work. That's like the Amish. The government just hates it. Most of the farms around here, we have chickens that lay eggs sometimes that are green and blue, beautiful colored eggs. Well, it's against the law. I can't sell them. I can go to church and feed 300 people, you know, egg salad or whatever, deviled eggs, whatever I want, but I can't sell them because they're colored. And in fact, if you look at your grocery store has a permit to sell brown eggs. Now, this is amazing because anybody that lives in the country knows that eggs are white. All eggs inside any bird, I don't care if it's a robin, a quail, a grouse, a turkey, chicken, duck, you name it, every egg is white. They are colored by the secretion that helps pass that big egg out of a little tight hole. That's what gives an egg a color. So there's no difference between a brown egg and a white egg. It's just the color of the secretion that comes out. So green eggs, blue eggs, brown eggs, all eggs are basically the same, except, you know, chicken and duck egg are a little different, but all eggs are white in all birds across the world. And yet your government says you have to have a permit to sell brown ones, and there's no way you can sell green and blue eggs. That's illegal.
Well, let me tell you this, Joe.
Government wants control. They have. It's totally stupid. There's no rationale, no science. But I'll bet it was Easter egg the companies that make dye for Easter eggs that made the laws. I'll bet you money.
Let me tell you this, Joe. Down in the Amazon jungle, there are these small chickens like banty hens.
Little banty
small.
Hens,
yeah, huh? They're small. They're not. They're in between a regular sized chicken and a banty, just a little bigger.
Yeah, well, okay. The farmers have them.
Now,
for show
yeah, let me tell you, Joe. These hens will lay. One hen will lay multicolored eggs. You might have one nest. I couldn't believe it when I first saw it. People telling me, I thought they were playing a joke on me, but it's true that you would have one hen might lay a blue egg or a yellow egg. Or a green egg, all in the same nest by one hen. And that's an amazing thing.
Thing, yeah.
So now,
God
with that.
God is amazing in his creation, but the government is stupid.
No, it's about control. This is the Antichrist. Look, this is the Antichrist. Say that. Antichrist world system that God has told us would come.
This is
the Antichrist world system. Real time, it's here now. We realize this. Jesus tells us all about this, okay? And so that's where we're at. Now, he also has told us how we deal with this. We run to this battle. We resist tyranny unto blood or unto death. And, we don't worry about dying. We're all going to die, okay? But what we want to do, we want to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant, huh?
Amen, and, do we want to hear that.
So meanwhile, while we're here, when he says to occupy, we have to do whatever we can to replace this totally corrupted, I mean totally corrupted government with a new government according to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, but more so according to the Bible. So here, U.S. Democrats use the Crane Biolab profits for campaign funding. Big Pharma, the Pentagon, and leading Deathocrats are implicated in a secret research scheme. Democrats in the U.S. have partnered with Big Pharma companies, friendly foundations led by George Soros, Bill Gates, to set up biological research in Ukraine using the project to generate additional funding for, and guess whose pictures they have? They have the Queen of Mean, Hillary Clinton. There he's with Joe Obama. It needs Joe to be Obama. Said that the ideologies of the U.S. military biological research in Ukraine are leading the Democratic Party, said Lieutenant General Igor Krylov, the head of the Russian Radiation, Chemical, and Biological Protection Force. Well, they knew that. We did, too. All right, we're coming up to a break. And when we come back, Joe, why don't we give everybody an opportunity to call in and just have, this is Memorial Day, and I want to say that, and I think back, my friend Roger Grubbs, Dave Lacey, Dave Toth, Pat Deal, just amongst a few whose names are written on that Vietnam War Memorial. As we went through there, I went through there a couple of years ago with my deacon John, and we were just taking down the names of our friends who died during that war. But I want to dedicate this radio program to going back, as we mentioned, all the way back to the war for independence in this country for all of those that stood and fought and bought the freedoms that we've had, Joe, those that shed their blood for the freedoms that we have. We'll be back right after this.
Face the flag of stars and bars, of red and white and blue. A flag that guarantees the rise for men like me and you.
Face the flag, son. Read what's written there. The history, the progress, the heritage we share. Our flag reflects the past, son, but stands for so much more. And in this age of Aquarius, it still flies in the fore. It leads the forward movement shared by all mankind to learn, to love, to live with peace of mind. To learn the mysteries of space as well as those of Earth. To love each man for what he is, regardless of his birth, to live without the fear of reprisal for belief, to ease the tensions of a world that cries out for relief.
Face the flag of stars and bars, of red and white and blue, the flag that guarantees the rights for men like me and
face the flag, son. Take a good long look. What you're seeing now can't be found in a history book. It's the present, the future, son. It's being written now. And you're the one to write it. The flag can show you how. Do you know what it stands for? What its makers meant? To think, to speak, the privilege of dissent. To think our leaders might be wrong, to stand and tell them so. These are the things that other men under other flags will never know. But responsibility, that's the cross that free men must bear. If you don't accept that, freedom isn't there.
Face the flag of stars and bars, of red and white and blue. A flag that guarantees the rights for men like me and you.
Face the flag, son, and face reality. Our strength and our freedoms are based in unity. The flag is but a symbol, son, of the world's greatest nation. As long as it keeps flying, there's cause for celebration. So do what you gotta do, but always keep in mind, a lot of people believe in peace, but there are the other kind. If we want to keep these freedoms, we may have to fight again, God forbid. But if we do, let's always fight to win. The fate of a loser is futile, it's bare. No love, no peace. Just misery, despair. Face the flag, son, and thank God it's still there.
Thank God we will. Okay, we're going to open the phone lines at 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. And I want to remember... Joe, again, I want to remember my parents, that my father, who was one of the hardest working men I've ever known, and my mother, who would always put her children before herself in everything. She would always put all of her children first. Those are the kind of parents in those days that loved their children. And I wanted to say this for you parents in the New York school system who are allowing these drag queens to come in and have story time. For you to keep your children in that school system, I'm going to tell you, you're an absolute shame on you. And I can't believe just how, I can tell you this, you certainly don't care much for your children. Phone lines are open, 888-677-9673. What
I
do you have?
Read
Go
one
ahead.
Quick line from James Lowell, one of the original, you know, people in our country. Once to every man and nation comes a moment to decide in the strife of truth with falsehood, for the good or evil side, some great cause, some great decision, offering each the bloom or blight, and the choice goes by forever twixt that darkness and that light. Then it is the brave man chooses, while the coward stands aside.
Amen.
Is not free, folks. Never has
nope.
been, never will be.
We have Claudia in the air. Claudia, you're in the air.
Yes, I just want to say thank you both of you. Thank you. I just, God bless you. God bless you for what you've done for this country, what you are doing, and what you are going to continue to do for this country. Just God bless both of you and keep you healthy and safe and strong and keep fighting the fight. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Have a blessed evening.
Thank you very much. It's nice to hear things like that.
Lady, as you are put, blessed to be the pastor of a church full of ladies like you, Claudia, which are true ladies. I mean, which are, thank God for you. And thank God that we don't have people like those on the PU, The View. But thank God for real ladies. And what a blessing it is for me to be a pastor of a church full of real ladies. All righty. There you go. Phone lines are open at 888. Okay. Cliff ain't no lady. But Cliff, you're in the air.
Yeah, how you doing? You know, it's funny you're talking about property rights. I was listening to episode 300 of the Sergeant Reports podcast. It has this woman, Diana X, who was kind of a Hollywood insider. So she's giving some stories about Hollywood and the problems with that. And then she was on things where the newscasters, she said, these people are just reading right from the scripts. They're kind of like there for their looks, and they can't really talk like off script. But then she ran into a divorce. Now she's doing real estate, and BlackRock is coming in. But the anecdotal thing was they were talking about a guy in Italy. He left his house, I don't know the details, on a vacation, came back, and people from Somalia were occupying his house, and they said, now it's our house. Now, the Italian police didn't do anything about it, and he had to go to the mafia to reclaim his house. So it's not only, I think, in the United States, I think worldwide property rights are just being expunged. But I was thinking, like...
Well, the Bible says it's... The Bible talks about a time of lawlessness. A time of lawlessness. This is what we have. We have a time of lawlessness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like,
go ahead.
When you look at Nebuchadnezzar, right, when he had that statue of gold made, I mean, that is, like, that's totalitarianism. It would be one thing if he did it just for himself, and he wants everybody else to go along with that concept, bow down to this golden statue. He must have been extremely wealthy, too. So I see this as totalitarianism, but I don't see Nebuchadnezzar being as bad as these people. What do you think about that? I mean, God still dealt with him. I don't think these people are redeemable at this point.
Well, in both cases, it's idolatry. In both cases, it's idolatry because one of them is, you know, were they witnessing, are they worshiping his statue, Nebuchadnezzar? The other time is they're worshiping what they're promoting. So in both cases, they're talking about idolatry.
Right. So that's what we're really seeing now. It's idolatry, basically.
Yep. You have a blessed, blessed Memorial Day. I got to move on because we got to take these calls.
Bye.
God bless. Alrighty. Real quickly, I wanted to say this, too. Phone lines are open at 888-677-9673. But I wanted to hit on very quickly because, you know, the 2,000 Mules. Joe, did you get your 2,000 Mules DVD
yet?
I sure
did. I'm setting up about three different showings, and we'll be starting, Friday night this week.
We've been sending out. Let me tell you this. Normally, we have people to go out to the post office, but I went to the post office myself because we had so many DVDs, and I was in there for an hour and 10 minutes because we had all of these DVDs to mail out. And here, folks, we got another whole shipment coming in. It's very, very important. This is your opportunity because you got to sit there and you normally don't have a voice over NBC, ABC, CBS, or Fox News with their propaganda. But you can do this. You can make them null and void by showing that film at church, showing that film at the library, We're going to be showing it, I think, at the next Tea Party meeting that we have. But we're going to continue to show these films out there. And we're going to try to continue to get more and more of those. And I want to say, hats off to Salem Broadcasting, to Salem Communications, for being bold enough to go against the grain and to market that and to produce that movie. Okay, who did you say we had next? Craig? Who? Timothy, you're in the air.
Yes, good evening. Happy Memorial Day to both of you. I know Pastor Ernie served.
To you, too.
Thank you. Thank you as well. And thanks to you, and I don't know if Joe had served. If he did, then thank you as well for laying your life on the line.
Oh, yeah, Joe certainly did.
All right, because I didn't...
Joe was a chopper pilot.
All right, I just... then anyone and everyone that's part of the show that's not there that might be listening, and even if they're not, they know who they are. I want to thank any and all people that have dedicated their lives to defending freedom. And they had courage as the main ingredient in their love of country. And today, the two most important songs to me were Battle Hymn of the Republic and the Star-Spangled Banner, our two national anthems. And I believe that, and I read today, I pulled it up, it was an essay by Peggy Noonan that was written about Ronald Reagan on courage. I would suggest that anyone that wants to get a dose of encouragement and, the fighting spirit, to read that entire essay and to read the lyrics and listen to the song, The Battle Hymn of the Republic. It'll reinforce why we believe what we believe. And in Joshua 24:15, when you read it every day, if you meditate on the word as often as we should, we're choosing who we serve every day. And when we look out there and we see in society all of the things that are raising their fist and their middle finger up to Jehovah and Yahweh, that's even a greater reason why we have to dig our heels in and stand up for what we believe in and to not waver. And I believe that Philippians 1:6 will come true for everyone that puts their trust in that cross and in Jesus Christ. That we are the only true president that we had recently was Donald J. Trump. I don't refer to Joe Biden.
Well, he still is our president. He still is. He is still. Let me tell you. There's a whole lot of people in the government. A whole lot of people still, even in the government, Timothy, that recognize Donald Trump as the legitimate president.
I have never called, and I never will call Joe Biden president and Kamala Harris vice president. They're illegitimate. They are squatters in their residence that they're in. They're illegally, and they need to be evicted. And when we get the brooms out in November of this year and in 2 years after that, when we get Donald Trump back in his rightful place, we can pick up where we left off. And knowing him, he's one of the hardest working people in that office that I've seen since Reagan, and he might even be harder working than Reagan. And I believe that DeSantis, I just seen his special on Laura Ingraham, and he had a lot of good things to say. And we need more people like that have a couple stones and okay, a backbone.
You're right, absolutely. I got to move on because the lines are lit. Thank you. Blessed Memorial Day. Who do we have next there? George, you're in the air in Portland.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Well, I want to point out that if the wars that the United States has been involved in, the kids are not being taught that the very first person, the casualty of the Revolutionary War, was a black man. And they...
No, they're not.
Know his name. I can't remember his name, but I did it one time. But the thing is that the question was I had from some people here was, what I heard about this, it's very distasteful and horrible, and the elite have this drinking baby blood or something, and there's some kind of element in there that they think confers immortality or something, or longevity, and it also gives them a big hit of dopamine.
Hey, Craig, are you there? Yeah, it seems like people are having a hard time hearing me. Do you have my mic cut down or something? Okay, well, anyhow, it seems like they're not having... Anyhow, what he was asking about was the chemical in the blood of the children. That's a program. We're going to do another one. There's a film out now. But yes, it's the Democratic Communist Party is rampant with child abuse, and it's rampant. The whole Antichrist world system with child sacrifice. Who do we have next? Sean, you're in the air.
Hey, God bless, brother. Thanks for what you guys are doing. You were in the service too, right, Pastor?
Yeah, I sure was. Yep.
Well, thank you for your service. I do appreciate it. I had a brother. I was in. He was in 80 to 84. He was close to going to Grenada situation. He didn't go, thank goodness. And I did have an uncle that was in Vietnam. He's still alive, but he told me some stories. I just want to say thank you for all the soldiers out there, the families who have died, and those who are still alive who served. You know, we need to stand up for freedoms. It's got to come from the Bible. You know, it's got to come from God's word. You know, and if we don't start teaching that and teaching it to young kids, they're going to keep doing the shootings. They're going to keep killing themselves and so on. But we got to stand our ground according to the Constitution, most of all, according to the Bible. Thank you, guys. God bless. Keep up the good work. Keep the fight.
You too. Have a blessed Memorial Day. Tina, you're in. We got to move fast because we're almost at that time. Go ahead.
Yes. I have a quick question for Pastor Joe, since he's a farmer. I saw a family member went to the market, and she sent me pictures of a video of a bunch of chickens she saw. They're called silky chicken. They're all black. And I said to her, "What is this?" And she said, "I've seen them on TV, but this is the first time I've seen them live." And I'm thinking, are these freaking food?
No, I've got about 14 black chickens. I can't remember what the name of them is. They got a fancy name, but it's very common around the Amish country. They're a mixed breed. They lay eggs, and they're good to eat.
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of the fancy name, but yeah, there's a lot of black chickens.
Yeah.
They're frozen. They're black. I've never seen them before. That's why I thought I would ask.
No, that's common. We've had them. We've had I used to have a lot of free-range chickens, too. And, and those guinea hens, Joe, the ones
are good to eat.
Yeah. All righty. Well, we thank you. Have a blessed Memorial Day. This will be the last call. Okay. All righty. Joe, you've got 4 minutes right now to give an invitation. I did it last night.
All right. I'm thinking, wanted to start with Galatians chapter 5. Verse 13, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." God understood our world, he understood us, and he understood our sin nature. And as Romans 8, 9, and 10 explain it, "But ye, those of us born again, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell not in you, so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." When we are born again, we are made new. We see that in 2 Corinthians. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." Jesus said succinctly, "I am in the Father, the Father in me, and I am in you. By what? By the Holy Spirit. And the only way you can have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is to be born again. And to be born again, it means to call upon the Father, confessing your sins, confessing that your sins put Jesus Christ, the greatest, I think in a way, the greatest soldier that is living today, that has ever lived, he went to the cross and he took my sins, Pastor Ernie's sins, any of you out there that are born again believers, on a sinless, spotless soul, he took all the ugly sins of the world, all the emotional hate, all the anger, all the mayhem you can think of. And he took that, and he knowingly went and died for us. So if we confess with a truly, truly repentant heart that we're sorry that our sins put Jesus Christ on that Christ, on that cross, we will be forgiven. And then we are to ask Jesus to come into our life, to become Lord of our life, all of our life, without hesitation, without reservation. We are to give ourselves to him. And then we ask Jesus to give us that indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that it's our down payment on immortality, everlasting life. And we become then the temple of the living God. We become sons and daughters of God himself, joint heirs with Jesus in everlasting salvation and everlasting life. You will become that born-again believer, that new person, that new creation, the new spiritual being. And then you truly will start to understand with that indwelling of the Holy Spirit, things will be clearer, Scripture becomes alive, and you will feel God directing, guiding you daily with you, walking with you, talking with you. The greatest thing that ever happened to me was being born again. And it's God gives us a free will choice to accept him or reject him. You can choose to be blessed with heaven or cursed in hell. He makes it very easy. The only thing you have to do is call upon him and repent. The first word he said in his ministry, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand for you if you call upon him, and do it now.
All right, Joe, you're right. And not only that, but it's the greatest thing anyone could ever do.
Oh, amen to that.
There's nothing that anyone could ever do to mean as much to them as receiving Christ as a Savior. There's only one way to the Father, and that's to the Lord Jesus. And God said that. So we are out of time again tonight, like we come to this time every night. So, as we often say when we get at this point, we want to say good night.
Good night.
God bless.
God bless.
Always, always
keep
fighting the fight.
The fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.